Ohio, ready for some quick mental health facts? Let's go. Nearly 2 million Ohioans live with a mental health condition. In the U.S., more than 50% of people will be diagnosed with a mental illness in their lifetime. Depression is a leading cause of disability worldwide. So why are some of us still stigmatizing people living with a mental health condition when we know all of this? Let's listen to the facts and beat the stigma. Ohio, challenge what you know about mental health at beatthestigma.org.
This GX on Agriculture podcast is brought to you by Haas Nissan in Yorkton.
To the people tending the land and animals that feed us and support our community, we at Haas Nissan want to say thank you on behalf of all those who depend on you, the farmer. Like you, we're a family business with family values you can depend on. Haas Nissan, where a customer becomes family.
GX on Agriculture with Doug Falconer.
Good afternoon and welcome to GX on Agriculture. Coming up on today's program, the Saskatchewan Weekly Crop Report came out this morning. We'll speak with Crops Extension Specialist Matt Struthers about how harvest is going in this province. Pea and lentil growers are starting to assess the quality of this year's crop. We'll hear from Sean Deerland, who is the chair of Saskatchewan Pulse Growers. And we'll also be joined by Judy Elias, who is the operations supervisor with the Canadian Grain Commission in Weyburn, and she will talk about their free harvest sample program. For the seventh straight year, Viterra is partnering with STARS on the Air Ambulance Calendar campaign fundraiser. We'll hear from Viterra CEO Kyle Jaworski on that. And, of course, we will also have our Week 6 winner of Supper in the Field, Fred and Gloria Willis of Salt Coats, on the program. So all of that and much more on today's edition of GX on Agriculture. But first, it's time for the Agriculture Outlook with Precision Weather. And that's a presentation of Sean Prahitka, your REMAX Blue Chip Ag Division Specialist.
Agriculture Outlook with Precision Weather.
With Eric Weglars from Precision Weather. And Eric, it's quite sunny here today, but a little cool, and we have a pretty good wind.
Yeah, the breeze is really going out there outside this afternoon. Gusts have been close to 50 kilometers per hour, so really decent wind, and you start to get the feel that it's getting cooler as we go deeper into the month here, inevitably towards when the snow will start to fly. It is a mainly clear finish to the afternoon. We're expecting, again, the winds to remain relatively breezy all the way towards sunset, so you may see gusts at times that are between 40 and 50 kilometers per hour, but generally the rule is winds will be sustained between 15 and as high as 30 kilometers per hour. The highs today, it's very dry, so it wouldn't shock us if we see temperatures as high as 18 degrees Celsius as we go towards sunset this evening. Very low chance for precipitation. That does change this evening. We are watching an area of low pressure up in northern Saskatchewan that basically moves south and east as we go into the evening hours tonight. So with that in mind, clouds will increase after sunset, and there is the potential for some stray light rain showers as we go past midnight in the first thing on Friday. Lows around 6 and the chance for precipitation at 45%. Winds are still breezy too from the northwest at 15 to 30 kilometers per hour. Now Friday we will see more sunshine as this area of low pressure departs towards the east. With that in mind, the winds will also change direction as well, now from the southwest at 10 to 20 kilometers per hour, and this is when the temperature begins to change here going forward. So it's only 17 centigrade as we go through Friday, but the weekend is a much different story. So we start off the weekend with a lot of clearing as we go into early Saturday morning. Lows at 12 Celsius, very low chance for precipitation. We'll call up 5 to 10%. Saturday, it turns mostly sunny, especially in the afternoon, and the wind direction now from the southwest, so the temperatures will jump up pretty fast. We're talking 28 to 30 Celsius as we go through the afternoon. On Saturday, no chance for precipitation, both Saturday and again on Sunday. Sunday will feature a few more late-day clouds, and I think that'll help the temperature stay a little bit cooler. Highs only at 27 Celsius, and the rain at this point is expected to make a return sometime on Monday or early Tuesday. It's not a washout. The rain will be confined to the afternoon. It's relatively light in intensity as well, with highs only at 18 degrees Celsius.
That's Eric Weglars from Precision Weather. Temperatures around the region this hour, the Paw and Brandon are at 13 degrees, Swan River and Roblin 16, Dauphin 18, Show Lake Russell 15. Regina is at 14 degrees, Saskatoon 11, Hudson Bay 13, Broadview Mooseman Indian Head 15, Wynyard Wadena Kelvington 12. The Yorkton Melville region has a mainly sunny sky, a west wind at 42, gusting to 55 kilometers an hour. 32% is the relative humidity. The temperature is 15 degrees. Yesterday, Yorkton reached a high of 25 degrees and dropped to a low of 8 degrees. There was no precipitation in the 24-hour period ending at midnight last night. The normal high for this date is 16 degrees. The normal low is 4 degrees. The sun rose in Yorkton at 6:27 this morning, and it will set at 7:02 tonight. Extreme temperatures for Manitoba and Saskatchewan yesterday. The Manitoba hotspot, in fact the national hotspot, was Melitta at 28 degrees. The cold spot was a tie between Kelsey Dam and Thompson. They both got down to plus 1 degree. The Saskatchewan hotspot yesterday was Estevan at 28 degrees. The cold spot was Collins Bay at plus 2 degrees. And that's a look at your agriculture weather. It's time to check in once again with Bill. Welcome back to GX on Agriculture. Saskatchewan's weekly crop report was released this morning. Saskatchewan Agriculture Crops Extension Specialist Matt Struthers says producers have been making excellent harvest progress.
Yeah, we had another great jump in progress this week. We're sitting at 74% now combined for the province. That's up from 56% last week and well ahead of our five-year average of 50%. So, combines have been out there rolling, picking stuff up or straight cutting and motoring along with the nice weather we've had in the past week. Additionally, there's 17% of the crop either swathed or ready to straight combine. Some more dry weather the forecast is desired to just continue keeping that the combines rolling and finish up harvest early.
Can you break down the harvest progress region by region?
Should be no surprise to anyone. It's been a trend the whole season, but the southwest region is in the lead with 85% of the crop now in the bin, followed by the southeast with 81, west central 79, east central 63, northeast 69, and the northwest with 57. So, another good couple weeks of warm weather, and even the north will be finished up well before they should be, or normally would be.
What types of crops are already in the bin then?
99% of lentils, 98% field peas, 86% of mustard, 82% barley, 89% durum, 83% spring wheat, 54% of canola, and 25% of flax have now been combined. There's an additional 34% of canola that's swathed or ready to straight cut. So, canola and flax are usually the last to come off, but very quick progress has been made with both crops.
Can you tell me how some of the crops are grading out?
Certainly, yeah. So durum was graded as 27% grade 1, 34% grade 2, 28% grade 3, and 11% grade 4 and 5. Looking at the grade 1 and 2 percentages, that totals 57, that's just below average. For pea grades, they're rated as 25% grade 1, 62% grade 2, and 12% grade 3 and 1% sample. And again, if you group grades 1 and 2 together, peas fall below the provincial average, the 10-year average. And lentil grades are estimated to be 20% grade 1, 62% grade 2, 15% grade 3, and 3% sample grade. But looking at lentils, actually the grade 1 and 2, if you group them together, they land above the 10-year average for those two grades. So that's good to see.
Was there much rain reported in the past week?
No, there wasn't much rain the past week. The most rain that was seen was or received was 15 mils, and that was in the Shaunavon Gull Lake area as well as just north of North Battleford. And 15 mils doesn't stretch very far when it's been super dry all season long. So definitely some more moisture is needed. And as we've seen, without any rain this week and some really strong winds, topsoil moisture has deteriorated. For cropland, it's rated as 36% adequate, 38% short, and 26% very short. Hay and pasture is rated as 21% adequate, 44% short, and 35% very short. So we're falling again a little bit just without that rain. I think every producer in the province wouldn't mind a good dump of rain once harvest is all completed.
What damaged crops over the past week?
There's a few instances of hail, nothing huge in the way of damage, but then there's a couple instances of frost, but it's likely, some of that happened down here in the south, and it's likely that most crops are either off the field or too far advanced to be bothered by that frost, and it was a light frost that likely didn't stick around too long or got too cold enough to really do some damage. The biggest crop damage this week was likely due to just wildlife and waterfowl from trampling in their fields or messing up swaths as they go through and eating.
And what are producers up to right now?
Oh, they're busy combining, swathing, hauling bales, moving cattle. And then now that some producers are done their harvest, they're doing some post-harvest activities, such as fall herbicide and fertilizer applications, where their soil moisture grants them the ability to do so. If it's super dry, most producers probably will hold off any fertilizer applications in the fall.
And is there anything you would like to add?
Yeah, even though harvest is wrapping up and there's probably fewer combines and machinery moving around, it's still a good idea to be safe out there if you're operating around those, driving around those combines and such as they move across highways or roads. And then, producers always got to remain safe. And even though if the light's at the end of the tunnel and you think you're just about to finish harvest, you got to stay sharp and make sure everyone stays safe out there.
Matt Struthers compiles the weekly crop report for the Saskatchewan Ministry of Agriculture. It's time now for the Ag Review portion of our program. That's a presentation of Peebles Machine and Welding in Yorkton.
GX94, Ag Review.
Canadian Pacific Railway and U.S. Railway Kansas City Southern have again formalized their engagement after competing suitor Canadian National Railway walked away from the table. CP and KCS, which reported unanimous support from both companies' boards, have entered a merger agreement committing CP to pay about $31 billion U.S. in cash and stock, or about $300 per KCS share. A CP-KCS merger pending full regulatory approval would create the first-ever Canada-U.S.-Mexico railway, connecting Canada's west coast and the St. Lawrence with the U.S. Midwest, the Gulf of Mexico, and Mexico's west coast, while also providing a bypass away from the congested rail hub of Chicago. The two companies made note of the merged railway's single-line routes, allowing the efficient flow of agricultural products from CP's origin-rich franchise to KCS's destination-rich franchise, generating new optionality for shippers and receivers. The merged company would also offer new competitive options for domestic intermodal shipments between Mexico, the U.S., Midwest, and Canada, providing a truck-competitive product for time-sensitive shipments in the high-value parts, perishables, and expedited markets. Calgary would become the global headquarters for CPKC, while Kansas City, Missouri would be its U.S. headquarters, and the Mexican headquarters would remain in Mexico City and Monterrey. CP Rail's current U.S. base in Minneapolis-St. Paul would remain an important base of operations. At least for the foreseeable future, ICE Futures canola is likely to remain range-bound, according to analyst David Derwin of PI Financial in Winnipeg. He says the November canola contract has support at $850 per metric ton, and when it bumps up to around $900, it's quickly pulled back. Canola had been slipping back until Statistics Canada released its updated production numbers on Tuesday. In the report, 2021-22 production of the Canadian oilseed was cut from 14.7 million to now 12.8 million metric tons. However, there have been several indications from the trade that canola should have been cut further, perhaps by another 1 million metric tons, based on the differences between the canola yields reported by the Prairie Provinces and the slightly higher yield estimated by Statistics Canada. Furthermore, the federal agency won't issue another production report until December, leaving the trade to piece together the puzzle on its own. Derwin notes a good amount of canola this year has been pre-sold, leaving very little for farmers to sell straight off the combine to elevators or crushers. In a recent release from Farm Credit Canada, it noted that despite the uncertainty brought by COVID-19 last year, 2021 has shown strong sales of new farm equipment and optimism for the farm equipment market despite production challenges. FCC noted that despite the pandemic, Canadian farms did reasonably well. Citing strong commodity prices and increased delivery opportunities, FCC said Canadian crop receipts increased by 10.9% in 2020 over the previous year and showed an impressive 18.1% increase in the first half of 2021. It also noted that livestock receipts recovered in 2021, offering a year-to-date increase of 12.7%. Increase equals a demand for and greater number of pre-orders of farm equipment. For farm equipment dealers, the 2020 demand for farm equipment greatly impacted new and used stock with strong sales. FCC said that new farm equipment manufacturing sales increased 33.6% through the first 7 months of 2021. Because of the strong farming market and high pre-orders, strong sales of farm equipment are expected to remain positive through the remainder of 2021 and into the early part of 2022. After that, the outlook isn't as rosy, as the 2021 drought hit Western Canada's crop farms hard, with a 25.6% expected decrease in yield compared to 2020. Other factors such as high feed costs are also playing into Canadian farm profitability in 2021, meaning fewer farms will look to reinvest in more farm equipment. Another talking point mentioned by FCC is that farm equipment manufacturers are having difficulty accessing required parts, mostly because of supply chain issues related to the ongoing pandemic. The end results are fewer pieces of new equipment available, a higher cost to purchase, and possible delays for pre-orders. And that's the Ag Review portion of our program. Let's head back up. Welcome back to GX on Agriculture. I'm Doug Falconer. It's mainly sunny and 15 degrees in the Yorkton-Melville region. I'll have your complete weather details coming up at the top of the hour. Pea and lentil growers are starting to assess the quality of this year's crop. Getting a representative sample to submit to grain companies is important and can be more difficult due to the large size of grain bins. Sean Deerland is chair of Saskatchewan Pulse Growers and farms in the Kyle area, just north of Swift Current.
Some of our bins are getting very large. Like, we've got 60,000 bushel bins that we might be putting red lentils in. So you think of the ridiculous size of that bin in relation to the tiny sample that you get. I think it's very important to have good sampling procedures to get a representative sample. We will usually have two pails set up. We'll have a smaller pail that we fill from the truckload, and then we stir that up and put some of that into the bigger pail, and then dump the rest of that initial pail back into the bin. And we do that for every truckload. Like I said, we'll have two pails typically, fill to one, mix it up, dump some of that into the bigger pail, and continue that for every load. And then mix the bigger pail up, and that's your bin sample. And I always try to keep three or four bags sometimes of a bin, just because you might be marketing that grain or shopping around to many different buyers. So it's always a pain to be short sample material to take around to different buyers. So we usually keep a pretty large sample.
Judy Elias is the operations supervisor with the Canadian Grain Commission in Weyburn. She talks about the CGC's free harvest sample program.
All you have to do is sign up to the program and tell us what you're growing in a regular year. And we send you a package in the fall just before you get started harvest. And it has all the envelopes in it that you, for the crops that you're growing. As you finish your harvest, you just fill the envelopes and pop them in the mail. And it's sent right to Winnipeg. They're graded there and all kinds of testing is done. And we email you back the results of all the crops that you send to us. So you get a lot of good information quickly. And usually we try to get it back to you before you're even starting to haul. So you have a really good idea of what you've got before you sign contracts and get rolling on hauling your grain in.
Growers can also get a more detailed sample assessment, which can assist in negotiations with grain companies.
You can come right to the service centers, and for a fee, we'll grade your sample and tell you the grade, dockage, moisture, and all those kinds of things that you need for pulses. And so then you get a certificate, and you can use that to help you sign contracts. It's a little more, you bring in a bigger sample, so you get a better idea of your dockage, and we take a really good close look at what's going on in your sample. So then once you've started hauling, and if you have knowledge that you believe that you've got a certain dockage or a certain grade, and you're hearing something different from the elevator company, you can ask for what's called a subject to inspector's grade and dockage. And I just recommend to producers, just say you want a second opinion on the grade and dockage of this truckload, and you want it sent to the Grain Commission. And when we get a sample that way, both the producer and the elevator company get a copy of their certificate. And then that's a binding grade that you'll be paid on. So it's something you can put in your back pocket if you need it. It's usually a really fine negotiating line that, or dance that a producer and elevator company play. But in the end, if you need to pull that ace card, you can.
Judy Elias with the Canadian Grain Commission was a guest on this month's Saskatchewan Pulse Growers Pulse of the Prairies podcast. It's time now for the livestock market conditions and their presentation of Heartland Livestock in Yorkton.
Livestock market conditions.
U.S. live cattle futures for October closed at 123.60 today. That's down 57. December live cattle closed at 128.57, down 87. October feeder cattle closed at 157.10, up 60. November feeder cattle closed at 157.30, down 27. October lean hogs closed at 85.47, up 3.20. December lean hogs closed at 74.45, up 2.20. And that's the livestock market conditions. Now it's time for the Heartland Livestock Report from Yorkton. Welcome back to GX on Agriculture. The community of Pence, 30 kilometers west of Regina, is holding a harvest fundraising event this afternoon. Pence Memorial Rink Board member Shane Ogilvie says harvest will begin on a 40-acre plot of canola today as part of the inaugural Oil Seeds for Community Needs fundraiser. She says the land and field operations were provided by Carrie Ogilvie, a local farmer and resident of Pence.
So we're working with a local producer, and we had over $8,000 worth of product donated. So all the crop inputs, all the seed, the fertilizer, all the crop protection, everything was donated by different agricultural companies. And then we are taking the profits basically from the grain from these 40 acres of canola, and it will be donated to the rink. We are currently working on getting concrete and a new brine piping system in the rink, and so this will help with that project.
So you're hoping to upgrade your rink?
Yes, absolutely. We've been working on lots of fundraising here over the last couple of years. We were part of the Hockeyville applications a couple of years ago, and we had tons of donations from that, which was fantastic. And we're hoping to start this project here in the next couple of years. And so we're just making sure that we have enough funds for that. And so this project is going to help with that. And then, of course, it's something that we're hoping to do year over year as well. And so that will help with different upgrades that the rink will require into the future as well.
And you're going to have an afternoon of harvest fun. Is that the best way to put it?
That is the best way to put it, yes. South Country Equipment is bringing out an X9, which is really exciting. We weren't sure if we were going to be able to get that big combine out. And, we'll have some burgers and hot dogs for sale for proceeds to go to the rink as well. And so, yeah, it'll be a lot of fun.
So this is a big community event for Pence.
Well, we didn't really know when harvest was going to occur because, of course, we don't know what the weather is going to do. And so it's a little bit last minute. But, yes, everyone is invited, and we hope to see lots of friendly faces out there.
How much money will you raise from this 40 acres?
We think the commodity prices right now that we could get upwards of $30 out of this.
Do you hope to make this an annual event?
Yes, this is something that we hope to work with other local producers year over year and just continue to be able to support our local community and our
Ogilvie is hoping to raise $35,000 from today's Oil Seeds for Community Needs fundraiser at Pence. That's just west of Regina. It's time now for the Commodities Update, and that's a presentation of Ray Nordine, your REMAX Bridge City Realty agent.
Commodities Update.
Canola futures closed down across the board today. November canola closed at $875.50, down $4.30. January canola closed at $867.50, also down $4.30. December Minneapolis wheat closed at $906.50, up 1¾¢. December Kansas City wheat closed at $720.50, up 4½¢. December Chicago wheat closed at $7.13 per bushel, up 0.75¢. December corn closed at $5.29½, down 4¢. November soybeans closed at $12.96 per bushel, up 1½¢. December oats closed at $5.51½, that's up 12¼¢. And that's the commodities update. Please stay tuned. GX on Agriculture will return right after these messages.
To the people tending the land and animals that feed us and support our community, we at Haas Nissan want to say thank you on behalf of all those who depend on you, the farmer. Like you, we're a family business with family values you can depend on. Haas Nissan, where a customer becomes family.
Welcome back to GX on Agriculture. I'm Doug Falconer. The week six winners of the Harvest Edition of GX94 Supper in the Field were Fred and Gloria Willis of Saltcoats. I asked Fred last night how long he's been farming.
Well, I moved back to the farm in 1981, so it's been over 40 years, I guess. We've sold most of our land now. After 40 years, it's time for most guys to retire. But all we have left is a home quarter here. And we sold cattle a few years ago, so all we have left is this home quarter here. And actually, the crop is still in the field. I'm waiting until the neighbor gets finished his, and then he's going to combine it for me. Okay. So
what's in the field? What kind of crop do you have out there?
We got some canola. The last couple of years, I decided all I was going to grow was just canola and oats because I'm celiac, so and plus it's easiest to sell them.
Yeah, usually a pretty good market for canola these days. How many acres do you have in?
There's about 85 acres back there, so I'm pretty small compared to most people.
And you haven't been able to start yet, obviously. Is it ready yet?
Well, it's getting close, but a neighbor of mine who seeded it for me this spring, He just tried some of his and then moved to another field, so his couldn't be ready yet either. So I'll wait till he goes, and then I'll get mine after he gets finished his.
How does it look? Did you get much rain this year, for instance?
Not anywhere near as much as we needed. It could be better than some crops that I've seen around, but it isn't going to be anywhere near what it was a few years ago. I'd say I'll be lucky if I get 20 bushels the acre, probably. I'll be happy if it gets any more, but I'd be satisfied with 20.
Did you get any hail through here, or did you manage to avoid that?
No, we didn't get any hail here this year, not that I'm aware of. Not unless it hit the other side of the field and missed this side.
And what do you think of grain prices? Obviously, if you've seeded canola and oats, they seem to be up on the ups these days.
Well, yes, and it sounds like it could even get higher from some reports, what I've heard. So, even if I only get half as much, it'll still be as good as when I got 40.
And, of course, you won Supper in the Field. It sounds like you guys have been trying to win for quite a while, have you?
Yes, that's been the wife that's been trying to do it all these years. But I guess I have to go along with it.
So what did you think when I phoned you this morning to say you'd won? What went through your head?
Well, actually, I was expecting a phone call from someone else. But when you said it was CJGX, I figured, well, that's probably been the wife who phoned it in. So I wasn't afraid.
And you enjoyed the evening here tonight?
Oh, yes, very nice. Thank you. You probably go to guys who are in the field these days, but as I said, all I have is one field left, and it isn't quite ready to combine yet. So,
our winners of GX94 Supper in the Field yesterday were Fred and Gloria Willis of Salt Coats. Our sponsors for GX94 Supper in the Field are KFC Yorkton, Smith Steel in Yorkton, Yorkton Ag and Auto Supply, Razor's Pub and Razor's Cellar at the Yorkton Hotel, as well as Coors Light, Pattison Liquid Systems, Sask Milk, and Crop Pro Consulting SWAT Maps. And it's now time for your agriculture weather, and that's a presentation of Ducks Unlimited. New Saskatchewan Crop Insurance Corporation's seeding deadline for fall seeded crops is September 30th. There's still time to sign up for DUC's Winter Wheat Program. The GX94 Precision Weather Forecast for the Quill Lakes, Hudson Bay, Swan River, Broadview, Mooseman, Indian Head, and Yorkton, Melville, Roblin, Russell regions today. Mainly sunny, winds west-northwest at 20 to 40, and a high of 18 degrees. For tonight, cloudy with a 50% chance of scattered showers, winds west-northwest at 15 to 30, and a low of 6. For tomorrow, partly sunny, winds south-southwest at 10 to 20, a high of 17. Saturday, partly to mainly sunny, winds southwest at 15 to 30, and a high of 29. Sunday, a mix of sun and cloud, a high of 27. Monday, light rain, and a high of 18. In the Paw and Brandon, it's 13 degrees. Swan River and Roblin are at 16. Dauphin, 18. Show Lake Russell, 15. Regina is at 14 degrees. Saskatoon, 11. Hudson Bay, 13. Broadview, Mooseman, Indian Head, 15. Wynyard, Wadena, Kelvington, 12. The Yorkton-Melville region has a mainly sunny sky. A west wind at 42, gusting to 55 kilometers an hour. 32% is the relative humidity. The temperature is 15 degrees. That's the agriculture weather, and that'll do it for GX on Agriculture for today. Be sure to tune in again tomorrow at 12:15 Saskatchewan time for another edition of the program. It's time now for the news and sports headlines.
CJGX, serving Saskatchewan and Manitoba. We are GX94.